Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically, Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be
You're
rude.
Attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not...
A new term entered the American lexicon when Donald Trump was elected president in 2016. Fake news. Heard here in January 2017, the president used the moniker when addressing a CNN reporter during a press conference. According to Doug Badema, chair and professor of communication at Western New England University in Springfield, Massachusetts, fake news has been defined in a number of ways.
Well, there are a few different definitions of fake news. It's hard to tack down one. One of the popular definitions of it, which I think is inaccurate, is that fake news is simply news with which you disagree. And that, you know, I think is an illegitimate use of the term.
Badema explained fake news can also be defined as instances when misinformation is used to deliberately influence opinion. And because it's easy to create, Badema believes fake news isn't going away anytime soon.
It pushes people's emotional buttons. It feeds what they want to believe, or worse, it feeds their fears. And because it can be tremendously effective at mobilizing populations to do what you want, there's a strong incentive to continue creating fake news.
At the 2018 College Media Association conference held in New York City in March, Clement Lisi, a former editor for the New York Daily News, New York Post, and ABCNews.com, discussed the conditions which allow fake news to thrive. I spoke with Lisi about his presentation at the conference.
So there was a time, you know, 20, 30 years ago where, you know, people would say, don't believe everything you read, don't believe everything you see in a book. And those were things that had gatekeepers, editors, writers. So, you know, to get a book published 30 years ago meant there was some degree of knowledge that had to be passed down, it had to be money spent on that. Now we live in a world where anybody can put out a tweet or anybody can post a message on Facebook. It costs nothing other than your Wi-Fi connection and the cost of a computer.
But a decline in skepticism isn't the only condition. According to Lisi, now a professor of journalism at King's College in New York, the turn to the internet and away from traditional media is the result of a lack of faith in institutions.
So there's people who have become anti-government, anti-establishment, and you know the media is part of the establishment. Most people, including many Trump voters and people across the country, are dissatisfied with the media.
Fake news on the web can have serious consequences, from shaping the worldview of millennials to influencing the opinions of baby boomers. With that in mind, Lisi says there are ways in which fake news can be combated.
Even as a consumer, you want to not retweet things without reading them, look at the source, be aware that there are fake news sites that mimic real ones, and consumers need to be more savvy, just like consumers have gotten more savvy about the food they eat and other things that they consume, like Consumer Reports in terms of, you know, which washing machine to buy, what's the best value for your car. Same thing with news. You consume it and then you repeat it. But the problem with news is that there isn't this good housekeeping guide. It doesn't really exist. It's incumbent on you to do that.
Badema of Western New England University says establishing a demarcation for what is real and what is fake in the consumption of news should begin at an early age.
We've become such a media-saturated society that I think not teaching media literacy in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges is a disservice to our students and to the American body politic.
Reporting for WAMC, I'm Kenneth Stratton.